over here to microphone one, and we are now beginning the 10 minutes of debate on this issue.
Madam Chairperson, my name is Chris.
Now let's listen to each other.
Madam Chairperson, my name is Christine Pratt Marston. I'm a delegate from Washington. I'm one of the few low-income delegates here. I would like to speak in favor of the child care plank. As a single parent with four children, child care, quality child care, has meant that I can attend school, helping me to become self-employed. I speak on behalf of children who need quality care. I speak on behalf of parents who worry about what happens to their children while they are in work or training. I speak on behalf of the caregivers who work for children, and we need this plank passed. Thank you.
I see no green cards. Oh, microphone one. This is a con.
I'm Vera D. Blake of Canton, Ohio, and I wish to speak against the federal government-funded child care centers. The similarity between Hitler's youth camps and these centers is obvious and may reap the same consequences.
Remember to show common courtesy. Microphone two.
Madam Chair, my name is Becky Weiss. I'm a delegate from the great state of Tennessee. I would like to speak in favor of this motion before the body. I would like to say that 2 weeks ago tonight, I became employed by the federal government. I work at night. I have a four-year-old son. Do you realize how difficult it is for me to find someone to keep him at night? And do you also realize that this is the one first opportunity in my life to compete with men on an equal basis and to receive the same pay for the same work? I say to you, I say to each and every one of you, that the federal government offers tax credit for private industry which establishes child care centers in industry. Why not does the federal government also give the same right to its own employees? I also say to you that I also say to each and every one of you that child care must be available regardless of ability to pay, not simply based on your income, but regardless of your ability to pay. And I move that we all pay close attention, because children are our next generation, and we must provide adequately for them and for the parents that are trying to raise them in the right way.
One. This is Khan. Hurry up.
Madam Chairman, having just received from the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare a reprint by Dr. Prescott, who is on this welfare, is a member of the Health, Education, and Welfare, a reprint teaching about telling that child abuse is caused by sexual repression. Dr. Prescott, and keep in mind he is on our tax rolls, says that if parents were just given free sexual freedom, and if children at the age of puberty were allowed free sexual freedom to experiment, et cetera, then that would cut down on child abuse. I think as mothers who have to work, we need to be very careful about those with whom we are leaving our children. If we can keep our local and state governments more in control of the regulations on child care, I think we would be much safer, because I do not agree with the ideology of Dr. Prescott, and I feel that most mothers in this nation certainly do not, and I would not like to have my children have to leave them in a child care in this kind of ideology circumstance. With this in mind, I would like to make a move to amend the resolution on child care.
You cannot amend. You did not have up the orange card. You were supposed to be speaking con, and you have. All those in favor of adoption of the motion to resolution as it appears before you in the original version, page 4. Please rise. You may be seated. Quickly, sit down. Everybody down. Everybody down. There's people standing in the back. All those opposed to the adoption, rise. The resolution is clearly adopted. In the meantime, I would like to present to you Commissioner Bernice Frieder for the purpose of introducing the resolution on disabled women.
I move the adoption of the recommendation on disabled women, which reads, the federal government should enforce the Vocational Rehabilitation Act of 1973 with special attention to Section 504, which mandates equal services for the disabled in education, employment, and health care. It should also enforce the 1976 amendments to Title I of the State and Local Fiscal Assistance Act of 1972, which established general revenue sharing, the Education for the Handicapped Act of 1975, the 1968 Architectural Barriers Act, the Urban Mass Transit Act of 1970 as amended, and all other federal laws designed to benefit the disabled and protect their rights. Congress and the President should guarantee access of the disabled to the mainstream of American life and should clarify and expand federal laws that affect educational and training programs, transportation, communications, child custody, access to buildings, and access to community-based deinstitutionalized care for the disabled. They should extend Medicare and Medicaid coverage to meet the special health needs of disabled women. All future public conferences and events should provide interpretations, communications, and barrier-free facilities for the disabled. Congress and the President should support U.S. participation in and funding for the International Year of the Handicapped as proclaimed by the United Nations for 1981.
Is the motion seconded? I will recognize microphone 6 for the purpose of making an amendment. Please, I hope the amendment is up here in writing and that you can give us the number on it.
What's the number on the name?
Microphone
Madam?
6.
Madam Chairperson, I am Eunice Fiorito, a delegate at large, New York State, the President of the American Coalition of Citizens with Disabilities. I am here speaking on behalf of 19,999,975 women and sisters of this nation with physical and mental disabilities. I move I move to substitute for the pending motion the following to be read by Judy Heumann. Thank you.
While we're waiting, I would suggest that those of you who are holding up cards, just put them down and rest your arms for a minute, because we are going to have the reading of a substitute motion, which I think is quite lengthy, and there's no point in your obscuring our view with it. Will you proceed? Microphone six.
The President, Congress, and state and local governments should rigorously enforce all current legislation that affects the lives of disabled women. The President, Congress, and administration should expeditiously implement the recommendations of the White House Conference on Handicapped Individuals and develop comprehensive programs for that purpose. Disabled women should have access to education, training, and employment based on their needs and interests, rather than on the preconceived notions of others. The federal government should enact legislation which will provide higher income levels so that disabled women can afford to live independently and at a decent standard of living. The disabled woman must have the right to determine for herself whether she will live in or out of an institutional setting. Funds and services should be available to make independent living a reality. The Congress should appropriate sufficient funds to ensure the development of service programs controlled by disabled people. Disabled women should have the right to have and keep their children and have equal rights to adoption and foster care. The Congress should mandate health training and research programs focused on the health needs of the disabled. Information developed by disabled women should be disseminated to medical professionals and women so that all women can make decisions about having children based on knowledge rather than fear. National health care legislation must be provided for the unique requirements of disabled women without reference to income. The Congress should enact legislation to remove all work disincentives for all disabled individuals who wish paid employment. The President and the Congress should work closely with disabled individuals in the development of the Welfare Reform Act and all other legislation concerning disabled persons. Medicaid and Medicare should cover all the medical services and supplies that are needed by disabled women. The President and Congress should encourage all states to utilize Title 20 funds for the provision of attendant care and other such services for disabled women. The President and Congress should enact legislation to include disabled women under the 1964 Civil Rights Act and afford them judicial remedy. The President, the Congress, and the International Women's Year must recognize the additional discrimination disabled women face when they are members of racial, ethnic and sexual minority groups, and appropriate steps must be taken to protect their rights. In the passage of the National Plan of Action, the word women should be defined as including all women with disabilities. The term bilingual should be defined as including sign language and interpreters for the deaf. The term barriers against women and access should be defined as including architectural barriers and communication barriers. Congress and the President should support United States participation in and funding for the International Year of the Handicapped as proclaimed by the United Nations for 1981. Thank you.
Very good. Very good.
Is the substitution seconded? Microphone each. What is the question?
I have a point of information. My name is Anna Marie Sandoval from Denver, and I work for the Governor's Council on the Handicap. I would like to clarify to the delegation that there is a great deal of confusion here today. This particular substitute motion was a motion that is made up by disabled women for disabled women, and we who are able-bodied need to take into consideration that we want to have control over our own lives in many different ways. Disabled women also need the same privilege. I would just simply make a plea to the delegation to move unanimously on this question.
I'm sorry, but I must tell you that is argumentative on a yellow procedural card, and I think that we have now come to the end of this, and I'm going to put the question to you and get out of the aisle, and the question is now on the adoption of the substitute motion. All those in favor of adoption of the resolution on disabled women, please rise. You may be seated. You may be seated. Quickly, please. All those opposed to the adoption of the resolution on disabled women, please rise. The motion is clearly carried, and the resolution is adopted.
Outspoken champion of people's causes, a truly responsive government leader, and a very good friend of mine, as you can tell by the long introduction. I give you, as our presiding officer for this third plenary session, the Lieutenant Governor of the State of New York.
As the Lieutenant Governor of New York, she forgot to say my name. You see those signs over there? Well, we've all been grown in New York, and that's what those signs say. Thank you very much, New York delegation. Yes, I'm Marianne Krzyzak, and I'm delighted and privileged to be here at this historic meeting to preside this evening. Before we begin, our first speaker this evening is the Honorable Patsy Ming, Assistant Secretary of State for the Bureau of Oceans, International Environment, and Scientific Affairs. Before I am proud to present Secretary Patsy Ming.
Governor Kruchak, Presiding Chairperson Bella Abzug, Commissioners of the IWY, distinguished guests, delegates, women of America, I am so proud and honored to have this opportunity to address this conference, which I know will be America's most historic moment of this century for the women of this generation. Your presence at this National Conference for Women attests to the importance you are giving to the changing role of women and the need to resolve a dynamic agenda for the future. No matter who argues to the contrary, I believe that there is a cross-section of America present here tonight, and that your deliberations will reflect the major forces for change and reform in our society to the end that women will finally be equal under the law.
Now as persons
under our Constitution to them threatens the basis of their preference for subordination. So under the guise of Save the Home, women are being told that equality will threaten their rights as homemakers. It is unproductive, it seems to me, to debate that issue with its advocates. What we need to do is take our cause affirmatively to the American woman. We need to dramatize the reality that you and I are homemakers too. That you and I have struggled separately for the most part of our entire adult lives to breathe life into the frail artifices of equality. That we have pushed our way into the centers of business, of science, of government, of politics, despite these barriers that have only recently been lifted because of our newly achieved collective strength. This conference, for me, is the culmination of a life's work. No small part of it being motivated by the intense wish that somehow all the personal affronts, put downs, and outright discriminations which I endured to make my own way as a human being can be spared my daughter and yours. I am all the more, therefore, incensed by those who would paint as anti-family women who have lived hardships and out of their personal experiences are now committed to finding solutions for their children's future security and happiness. Each of us has a great challenge to permit this conference to express the will and determination of women who do desire equality before the law and who seek changes in status so that women can attain positions of responsibility. Women are needed as active participants in all institutions and forums of public policy. Women need to have a more direct voice in the formulation of policies and programs which vitally affect their lives and the lives of their families. Until we do, the maxim of our democracy, quote, of the people and by the people, is diminished by half. This is the high goal that this conference must attain. It must serve as a significant event for the coming together of women across this land, charged with a sense of importance and deeply committed as a group to achieve positive gains for women in all aspects of living. There can be no equivocation on this point. No matter how vigorously we may disagree and debate procedures and strategies, the bottom line of this conference must be a serious attempt to provoke meaningful change so that American women of the future can be assured justice, equal protection under the law, full participation in their own governance as decreed by the United States Constitution. We know that we are at a critical juncture in our nation's history. The country is watching you tonight. What is the public verdict to be on this meeting? What we do here will determine whether we will be joined by the public in what could be this century's most significant public policy platform for our future. I place my life, my future, and that of my family in the wise and effective deliberations which I have every expectation will highlight this conference beyond all prediction. With faith, perseverance, and personal commitment, the cause of justice and sisterhood will triumph at last. Thank you very much.